Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. That brings us to our scripture passage for this morning, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. You'll find that on page 681 of the Church Bible, if you're using that one, Matthew chapter 2. Today is Epiphany. Well, what is Epiphany? Epiphany, the English word, comes from a Greek word, epiphaneia, which means manifestation. And so Epiphany is the Sunday in the church year that commemorates the manifestation, the epiphaneia of Christ to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles are represented by the wise men, technically called the Magi. And so that's why today, on Epiphany Sunday, we finish our series on birth announcements with the announcement of Christ's birth to the Magi, the wise men. Let's read the word of the Lord, Matthew chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the peoples of chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd, the king of my people Israel." Then Herod called the wise men, the Magi, secretly. And he found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts. Gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. That's God's word this morning. Let's pray as we open our hearts in the opening of the word. We thank you, Lord, that you have manifested yourself not only to the Jews, but to Gentiles. Gentiles such as all of us gathered together in this sanctuary this morning. We ask, Lord, that as we open your word, we might indeed find you freshly manifest in our hearts and in our responses. In Christ's name, amen. A long, long time ago, in the days of the telegraph, if you remember that, some of us might. Well, the pastor of a small town church sent one of his church members into the big city to order a Christmas sign to be hung outside of the door of the church. And the pastor gave the church member a note that gave the dimensions of the sign and the inscription to be printed on it. Unfortunately, on his way to the big city, the church member lost the note. And so when he got to the Western Union office, he wired the pastor. He said, "Rush copy of motto and dimensions." And a brand new clerk there in the Western Union office got the reply, and he almost fainted. It said, "Unto us a child is born, 8 feet long, 3 feet wide." Well, the Christ child was tremendous, not in girth, but in greatness. The angel Gabriel has said to Mary, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, his ancestor, David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob, Israel, forever. His kingdom will never end. Jesus is born a king, the rightful heir of David's throne. And for his crown, that first Christmas night, God places a dazzling star there in the sky. 100s and 100s and 100s of miles away in the east, some magi or wise men see that star, and they perceive that the star is a birth announcement from God himself, a birth announcement that the Lord has placed in the heavens, the announcement of the birth of a newborn king. And so the magi follow the star to find the king. And in so doing, the Magi show us how to respond to the kingship of Jesus. How do you and I respond to the kingship of Jesus today? The Magi show us. First of all, since Jesus is king, follow his light. Matthew 2, 1 through 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east. We've come to worship him." Magi. Who were the magi? The magi were a group of priestly scholars who advised Babylonian and Persian rulers. And because of their scholarship, the Magi were called wise men. In New Testament times, there were many, many Magi in regions that comprise modern-day Iran and Iraq. Now, when the Magi traveled to Jerusalem, they would not have traveled due west from Iraq to Jerusalem, because that would have taken them across vast stretches of foreboding desert. So they wouldn't have gone as the crow flies. They must have traveled the trade routes of the Fertile Crescent between the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers, and then down to Jerusalem. And that was a journey of about 900 miles. Now, accounting for time to make arrangements for the journey, somebody has to watch the house and feed the dog while they're gone, and accounting for the time that it would take to gather together a traveling party, there were likely many more than three, And then the time to make the journey itself. The Magi probably arrived in Jerusalem several months after they first saw the star. And upon their arrival in Jerusalem, the Magi asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star there in the east. We've come to worship him." As the scripture says, King Herod was disturbed. See, he is afraid that a rival has been born. A rival that will take his throne from him. So Herod will try to eliminate the one whom the Magi seek. But first, he must find him. And so Herod asks Jerusalem's Bible scholars where the Messiah is to be born. And they point Herod to the prophecy in Micah 5:2, which identifies the Messiah's birthplace as Bethlehem. And so King Herod sends the Magi to Bethlehem. After they heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced. In desert countries of the east, nomads find their way by following stars. In that part of the world, a common way of giving directions is to say, "Take that star in your hand. Take that star in your hand." The Lord had placed a star in the sky, and he had said to the Magi, "Take that star in your hand, and you will find the baby king, the newborn king." These Magi certainly are wise men when they set out to seek after Christ. They know that the Christ child is the king, and so they take the star in their hand, and they follow the light of his star. Well, how do they know to do so anyhow? How do the Magi know that the star signified the birth of the King of the Jews? Well, remember that the Magi were from Iraq or Iran, where there were also large populations of Jews. And what would the Jews have had? They would have had the Hebrew Scriptures. And so the Magi would have had access to the Jewish scriptures, the Old Testament. And who were the Magi? Scholars. And scholars are always looking for something to study. And so they would have studied the Old Testament that their Jewish neighbors had. And they would have become very familiar with the prophecies of the coming Messiah King. One prophecy was Numbers 24, verse 17. Let's look at it carefully. A star. What's it say? A star. A star will come out of Jacob. Jacob was an Old Testament patriarch to whom God gave the name Israel. A scepter. A scepter is a symbol of royal authority. A king in those days had a scepter. A scepter will rise out of Israel. And so notice in this passage that the word star is synonymously parallel with scepter. The star represents the advent, the birth, the coming of a king in Israel. And so the Magi have studied this prophecy from the Old Testament, from their Jewish neighbors. They borrowed the other person's Bible. And the Magi see the star over Israel. And what do you think comes to their mind when they see the star over Israel? This prophecy in Numbers 24, 17. And they say to each other, "The appearance of this star means that the one who will hold the scepter in Israel, the king of the Jews, has been born. Look, look, look. The prophecy's been fulfilled. There's the star. The scepter has risen. The king has come. Let's go find him. Let's go worship him. Let's go give him gifts. So, not only are the wise men guided on their journey by the light of a star, they are guided on their journey by the light of Scripture. Numbers 24:17, to be exact. Guided by the light of Scripture. You think that has something to say to us today? Since Jesus is King, let us follow His light. The light of the Scripture. The same light that the Magi followed. Let's follow the light by following the light of His Word. Jesus reveals the path that we're to take through the light of the Scriptures. He does that for the wise men. Verses 3 through 6. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. A rival to the throne has been born, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chiefs, and chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied. For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. In those days, a king was considered to be the shepherd of his people. Now, most of those verse 6 is a quotation from the Old Testament prophet Micah. Micah 5:2. Now remember, again, the Magi were scholars. They had studied the Old Testament. They must have known from Micah 5:2 that the Christ would be born in Bethlehem. They already knew where He was to be born, but they didn't know where He was. Remember, their journey to Jerusalem had taken a long time, several months. They knew where the Christ child was to be born, but they didn't know where He was by the time they arrived in Jerusalem. And so what's the question? They wanted to know where He was. Maybe His family had moved from Bethlehem to Jerusalem or some other town. So their question in Matthew 2:2 is not where is the Christ to be born. They already knew that. Their question is, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews right now? Where is He now? Herod, on the other hand, asks where the Christ was to be born. Magi knew the Bible better than Herod. And the answer from Scripture is Bethlehem. And so that's where Herod sends the wise men. And so God uses the light of both Numbers 24:17 and Micah 5:2 to show the Magi the path they are to take. Likewise, King Jesus uses the light of Scriptures to reveal the path that we are to take. Jesus is King. Follow the light He gives in Scripture. When you face situations in life and you don't know how to handle that situation, how to handle that circumstance or that event, take your Bible in hand and read the Scriptures. When you face a choice, take your Bible in hand and read the Scripture. When you've got to make a decision, ask the Holy Spirit to bring to your mind the Scriptures that you have already studied that could talk to you. Saul of Tarsus, in Acts chapter 9, was a persecutor of the church, and he is on his way from Jerusalem to Damascus to persecute the followers of Christ in Damascus. And there on the Damascus road, suddenly a bright light shines so brightly that Paul drops to his knees and his eyes are blinded. And out of that light comes a word of Christ. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, Damascus, and you will be told what you must do. So Saul gets up and he goes into the city. What has he just done? Persecutor of the church that he is, he has just followed the word of Christ. For Saul, the light shone and the word of Christ followed. For us, the word of Christ is the light. Since Jesus is king, let's follow his light. The wise men do that when they follow the light of the scriptures. Numbers 24:17. Wise men do that when they follow the light of the star. Through the biting cold of night, they follow the light. Through the blazing heat of noon, they follow the light. Through the raging storms and all the hardships of the journey, they follow the light all 900 miles. For they've taken the star in hand. And they know that the light of the star leads to the cradle of the king. So let's follow his light. Through the biting cold of a culture that has turned against true faith, let's follow the light. Through the blazing heat of all the flaming arrows of the evil one, let us follow the light. Through all the raging storms and the hardships of the journey, let's follow the light. All the way in our journey toward the city of God. For we too, like the wise men, have the light of the star, the light of the bright morning star, who is Jesus. And we know that the light of this star will lead to the throne of the king. Since Jesus is king, let us follow his light. Furthermore, since Jesus is king, let us bring him our gifts. At this point in the story, the Magi have now arrived in Bethlehem. And in verse 11, we read, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts. Gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. All gifts fit for a king. Gold, of course, fit for a king. Incense, probably frankincense, a glittering, sweet-smelling gum obtained by cutting the bark of several trees. And then myrrh. Myrrh. Rare, from the sap of a tree in Arabia, prized as a spice, prized as a perfume, rare and highly treasured, highly prized treasures. When the wise men bring their gifts to the King Christ child, they give their very best. Since Jesus is king, let us bring him our gifts. Let us bring him the very best, as the Magi did. What gift have you given to the king this season? The gift he desires most is yourself. Give him yourself. Jack Martens has given King Jesus the gift of himself. Jack Martens is a minister in San Francisco, but he's not ordained, and he doesn't preach from a pulpit, but Jack Martens is a pastor nonetheless. Ask over 10,000 students who through the years have benefited from his ministry on the other side of a music stand. You see, Jack Martens is a band teacher to 12 13 and 14-year-olds in the inner city of San Francisco. And for more than three decades, he's been faithful. He's hung in there. He's brave for the challenges of less than ideal teaching conditions at Ben Franklin Middle School to live out his faith. And he is such a great band teacher. He could have had any school in the suburbs he wanted. But he stayed in the inner city 3 decades. Over 50% of Jack's students are from broken homes. Every other kid in that room is from a broken home. To that score add the fact that funding for the arts has all been just about cut off. Not quite, but almost cut off in the school district. It's got to make a little money go a long way in the lives of these kids. Still, the bearded band teacher shepherds his students. Doesn't he look like a shepherd? He shepherds his students through the less than green pastures of life. And this is what he says. Here's what it's all about for him. He says, I love these kids and they love me. And in me they can see my love for Jesus Christ. It's really Jack's interaction, his relationship with the kids, that gives his witness a melody line. He eats lunch with them. He eats lunch with them to help them talk through their problems. And he stays after school to help them with difficult fingerings. And through music, he is able to show his students the love of Jesus. What gift does Jack Martins give to Jesus? Himself. Jack Martins has given himself as a gift to Jesus so that his secular work is a sacred calling. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Give him the gift of yourself. The very best you have to offer. Finally, since Jesus is King, let us obey His word. After presenting their gifts, the wise men prepare for their long journey back to Iraq. And of course, it just makes sense to go back the way they came. But having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they return to their country by another route. King Herod is plotting to kill the child Jesus. That's why he wants to know the exact time the star appeared in verse 7. That's why he wants the Magi to report back to him in verse 8. He's planning to kill the child Jesus. All he needs to know is when and where. You see, Herod is not the rightful king from the line of David. Herod is not even an Israelite. Herod is not even Jewish. He's descended from Esau, the rival twin of Jacob. It's the Romans who have made Herod king, and so most Jews hated him. They saw him as an illegitimate king. They never accepted him as king. If a child has been born who is rightfully king, if a child has been born who is descended from the royal line of David, then Herod's throne is in jeopardy and that child is slated for elimination. Herod became paranoid in his later years. He killed whenever he faintly imagined that someone was going to usurp his throne. He even killed his wife. He even killed his sons. What do you think he's doing when he says to the wise men, tell me where he is that I may go and worship him? What's he thinking? He's plotting to kill the babe in Bethlehem who's born the rightful king. And that's why the Lord warns the Magi not to return to Herod. Notice the scripture doesn't tell us that the Lord gave the Magi the details as to why they were not to return to Herod. As far as we know, they don't know why. They only know what the Lord told them, and they obey. Sometimes we may not know why the Lord is calling us to do something. We don't have to know. We just have to know that the Lord's called us to do it, and we need to obey. So they obey. They obey the word that the Lord has given to them. They return to Iraq by another route. Likewise, we need to obey the word of the Lord, for he's king, even if it doesn't make sense to us. Saul is on his way to Damascus. And the Lord speaks to a man in Damascus named Ananias, and he says, Saul is on his way, and I want you to minister to him. Ananias says, oh, but Lord. You ever said, but Lord? Oh, but Lord. He's a persecutor of the church. He's here to round up your people and throw them into prison. Lord, what you're telling me to do does not make sense. The Lord says, this man's going to be my chosen instrument to take the gospel to the Gentiles. So Ananias does what he has been told to do by the Lord. And he prays for Saul. And the scales fall off Saul's eyes. He can see again. And he's baptized. What the Lord told Ananias to do did not make sense to him. But he did it. He obeyed because the Lord told him to. Just as the wise men did. And just as you and I are called to do. Jesus is king. We need to obey his word. Even if it doesn't make sense to us. Even if we don't know why. So this is how we are to respond to the kingship of Jesus. Follow his light, the light of the scripture. Bring him our gifts, the gifts of ourselves. Obey his word. For as the Apostle Peter writes, we have the word of the prophets made more certain. And you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Let's pray. Lord, take our lives, our silver, our gold, our time, our desires, our wills, our talents, our opportunities. Take all our lives, Lord, and let them be consecrated, Lord, to Thee.